Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a child is tormented by strange dreams of the dead, only to later find out that a man had died in her room not so long ago.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to take it a step further and get even more content, talking hours, weeks, months of content that you could literally have to sit there and listen to binge away on that long just to get through it, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you sign up to be an EPP, you're supporting the show, but in exchange, you're getting a bonus episode every week that we produce specifically for our EPPs, jam-packed with our best ghost stories that we get. You also get access to the archive of those episodes, more than 320 some of them now. You get our advanced episodes ad-free, so that's a nice convenience. Our full back catalog as well, going back thousands of episodes. What else? Our ebook, our audiobook. There's just so many things for $5 a month when you support the show. Take it a step further. Do a full year. Get 1 month free on that, too, along with everything else I just talked about. You can do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Maybe an early Christmas present to yourself or someone else. Give the gift of ghost, as I say, for the last eight holiday seasons, which is kind of crazy to think of doing the show for that long. But hey, we've been here. It's now my second longest radio station. Did you realize that?
Huh?
That I've been at. I mean, it's for it being a podcast, but KFDI in Wichita was the longest, and this is now number two in terms of length. Two more years, and I got it beat.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you for the program. And if you ever sit there wondering, I've heard those two together before on a radio station called that. Yeah, you're right. You did. Yeah, years ago.
Once upon a time. And then, bum, 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 I got fired. Oh. You know, though, to be honest, like, I'm just like everybody else. Yeah. I went on and got another job. But yeah. There's so many people who have gone through that.
Sure. Yeah.
So I appreciate that pain.
Yeah.
It's a scary time.
It is. And there's so many folks feeling that right now with everything going on. So our hearts are with you if that's what you're dealing with. And if we can be an escape for you for, you know, a couple hours every week, I'm happy that we can do that for you and kind of take your mind off of all the craziness of the world. Speaking of craziness of the world, so I don't think I've announced this on the show yet, and I don't know why. Because it's kind of a big thing in my world, considering I'll talk about, like, sometimes what my favorite snack food in 1989 was, but I haven't said this. I am in a new building here in the, we have a new studio, and I know this is like the 10th studio that we've had in 8 years, but this is like going to be the permanent forever studio. I'm not jinxing it. I'm knocking on wood, but it is the first one that's ever been its own building, its own structure on its by itself. It's a little bit of ways away from it's on our property. It's by our house, so I can like literally see my door and walk over there. It is its own place. It's a brand new studio, and it's all set up, or well, close to set up. But we'll be doing a lot of, you know, live videos and stuff in here, and it's creepy. It's spooky. It kind of reminds me of my bar that I had in our house.
Yeah, that was really cool.
In Branson. It's very, very similar in feel. We called that the, what did we call it? The something haunt. I should know this. My mind's just fried this week, though. It has that sort of feel to it. Windows along the side, almost kind of the same layout as well. But there's no bar in here, so.
You need a pair of crutches?
Yeah.
I got some.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the point of my story, which I've already completely lost. As I was walking out here tonight to the studio, we're out in the country, so I'm hearing cows and I'm hearing coyotes and other things. And then very faintly in the distance, I can hear this music. And I normally do not hear music out here. The only time I used to hear music out my front door was when Silver Dollar City was up across the over the mountain, and you could hear their Christmas music late at night, and that sounded almost faintly creepy too. But this, it was like off in the hills, and it almost, I don't know any other way to describe it other than kind of like that Jeepers Creepers type sound. And I thought that was a horrible movie, but it's that just kind of older classic happy, weirdly uncomfortably peppy music is what it sounded like. And I'm looking around, and I think I can tell where it's coming from. And there's a house up on a hill, probably like a mile away, but you'd need to have some pretty loud speakers to be able.
Sometimes like when you're out in the country and it's a really, really still night.
Yeah. And it was,
is it windy tonight or is it still?
Tonight is calm. First one in a while.
And if everything's kind of quiet and the ambient noise isn't, you know, there's no cars or anything really. I mean, I guess it could happen.
I know. That's kind of what I put it off to. I wasn't like genuinely scared or anything, but I just thought, oh, what a creepy setting to like be walking into my music studio to, you know? It's almost like I kind of felt like I was a music artist.
Michael Bolton, you'd have been like, hey.
Like you're getting pumped up to go on stage, you know? Because it totally was, because I have to go up a little set of stairs. It's very much like walking into a stage. I have a flashlight that I shine down so I can see where I'm walking as if a stagehand were doing it. And then I get up in here, but I was like, kind of like, all right, you know, running into the studio to do the show. On this creepy, weird ass atmosphere that anyone else would be like, this is fucking weird. I want to go in the basement and lock the doors. I'm like, yes, ghost story time.
Do a ghost story. And then right before we start, my internet goes out for some weird reason.
Yeah.
It starts back up, but then my phone started playing. What was it? Some lullaby. Lullaby. I don't even remember which one it was.
Because me and Carol like visit for the first 45 minutes of our evening when we talk. And then we're just about to start recording and her internet cuts out. So we got to reconnect. And as soon as we reconnect, there's this creepy rockabye baby playing on her phone.
Yeah, and it's this woman singing.
I'm like, what the fuck are you playing? She's like,
not even singing the actual lyrics.
No, it was so bizarre and weird. And I was just like, what?
I don't know, but it won't stop.
And then that's what jogged my memory of the creepy music I heard coming in here I wanted to talk about. So we both had creepy, unexplained music experiences tonight.
And I think what probably happened is I have a Samsung, and I think that little Bixby or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The Google woman. Probably, you know how your phone hears you talking?
Yeah.
I think I said something about cutting out.
And it interpreted it to say, play creepy rockabye baby song.
That's my theory.
And you're sticking to it. Yep.
That bitch better not start singing in the middle of the night. I will not be happy.
Either you have a ringtone you're very embarrassed about, or your phone is possessed. And I think we might be leaning much more towards possessed.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was weird.
No really scary stories tonight.
We're at the mercy of whatever they send to us. So I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. It'd be great if they all tied in somehow, but who knows? That does tend to happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. First letter says, my story starts like this. When I was growing up, I lived with my mom and sister in South Florida. Over time, we ended up moving in with my grandma, and my grandpa was in a nursing home due to Alzheimer's. And my grandma was not taking the best care of herself or her house. After roughly 30 years in this rich town, my mom and grandma both agreed that it was time to move on. They had their hearts set on moving to St. Augustine, Florida. We ended up settling down in a town about 30 to 40 minutes away from St. Augustine. It was very small and known for its natural spring water. They figured I'd be a good place to where my sister and I could go out and spend time with friends without worrying that something would happen to us. The house we ended up buying was built in the 1920s or 30s, I can't remember which, right next to an exceptionally large river. The house obviously had some history to it. We discovered that our new house and one of the houses next door was built for J.C. Penney's daughters. We also discovered that an older man, one of the previous owners, he wasn't related to the people we were buying from, but he was a previous resident, had actually died in the house. The neighbor's kids joked around and said he had died on the toilet. My sister and I shared a room for most of our lives, but in this house, we finally got our own rooms. We finally got some privacy and were super excited despite not being so happy with moving to the opposite side of the state. Not too long after the move, my mom, sister, and grandma all started hearing disembodied breathing around the house. It bugged my sister quite a bit, but it was never anything particularly malicious, just creepy. They usually heard it when showering or in bed at night. We all believe in ghosts and regularly watch ghost shows, so while the events were startling, after my family told the breathing thing to go away, it usually did. My sister's ex-fiancé also experienced this one night while they were visiting from the Tampa area. He heard the breathing and asked my sister if she heard that, and she just told him to go away, after which it did just that. My family, one of my sister's college friends, also heard my desk chair move and heavy boots walking around in my room on a few occasions when I was out of the house. We had a cat and dog at the time, but the dog always stayed on the first floor with my grandma, and the cat followed my mom like her shadow. Everyone was downstairs and no one could explain it. I experienced none of this. What I did experience was mostly in my dreams while falling asleep. So I can't claim any of this was paranormal, but it did feel like it. Most of the auditory stuff I experienced is when I was on the verge of passing out to sleep, so I can't really vouch for any of that. One of those times I heard a very loud, "Hey!" in my ear and a very nondescript voice. I froze up and didn't move for probably 2 to 3 hours despite roasting in my blankets. I eventually just moved and passed out, thankfully. The other thing I heard a few times was my mechanical keyboard keys clicking like they were being pushed in. The dreams frequently alternated of something dark coming from the air vent and the ceiling of my blankets being pulled off me from the foot of my bed. I'd frequently feel the blankets in my dream being pulled off slowly and fought back while I held onto them till I woke up. Thankfully, while I felt it felt so real, my blankets were always still where they should have been and had me thinking that this was mostly in my head. I'd eventually discover that an old man that died in the house died in my room, which my mom kept from me for a while as she did not want me to feel uncomfortable. Eventually, I moved out to South Carolina for a job, and while I no longer experienced my blankets being pulled off me in dreams or my keyboard typing, I started having some sleep paralysis nightmares, the worst of which I felt myself being pulled off my bed by the leg and then lifted up. I woke up from the dream in my original position, which had me thinking that something had followed me out of that house for a while. I did not believe something followed me anymore and helped me realize that my dreams were just that, dreams, nightmares. I still experience sleep paralysis nightmares from time to time, but a simple pinch to my side or thigh usually confirms that it is a dream and I can calm down and wake up. My mom and grandma both still live in the house to this day and they still hear them walking and breathing from time to time. We never dug into the who or what it was. We just assumed to this day that it's the old man who died in the house, treating him as another resident of that house. I wanted to thank you guys for the show. I was recently introduced to it by a friend of mine after I ran out of shows and podcasts to listen to and now can't get enough while I work. I'm only in the episode 200s as of writing this. I hope you all are safe during these tough times and that your year goes well. Thank you for those kind words. And I want to make you note of this. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, which most do, it only has the last 300 episodes listed. There are literally thousands of episodes of this show. And when you're an EPP, you can get access to all those. We post them out there if we could, but that's the limit that Apple has. So anyway, thoughts on the story?
Well, real quick, if he's in the two or she is in the 200s.
Yeah.
Like, so it could be a year before he hears this.
Very easily. Yes.
You know, or do you sneak ahead and go, maybe they're going to do my story.
Well, and I got to ask, like, what order of the 200s are you in? Are you getting like the latest one and then kind of going through the archive from front to back? Or are you going back to front? Or now it's starting to sound kind of dirty. But there's only Apple Podcasts only allows 300 of the most recent episodes. But we are, I don't know the exact number, but it's in the thousands of how many shows that we've done. I'd have to look into that. So there you go.
There's, well, anyway,
yeah,
it anyway. Sounds like if the mom and the grandma are cool with it, like nobody's necessarily been hurt
Yeah.
Or, but those kind of dreams like that, those can be so real.
Yeah.
That, you know, because I've had them, and sometimes it's like, was it a dream? Was it not a dream? I don't really know. But if you can feel, I'm like that pinching thing. I never thought about that, but I might try it next time I have one.
You've never done that to get out of a dream?
What's that?
You never done that to get out of a dream?
No.
Really?
No, because a lot of times I don't feel like anything on me can move.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Oh, like in a sleep paralysis experience. Okay. Yeah.
Like, but then there's sometimes it's like you do wake up and then you fall back to sleep and you're right back in it.
Yeah.
So maybe I should try pinching myself then, or getting completely out of bed or something.
I've only had that happen once. So, and it was damn near 20 years ago, and it was 20 years ago. And I can't comprehend being able to move in any way, shape or form other than I sat up and then I was frozen, which was weird. And I haven't heard another sleep paralysis story. So that kind of makes me question if it was sleep paralysis or something else, but it was certainly paralysis of some sort where you can't move. And, the trick that I used to have just to get out of a nightmare was always shut your eyes and open your eyes. And usually that triggers your real eyes to actually open. Cause I could always dreaming. I don't know. I'd say 80, 90% of the time I realize I'm in a dream. So I guess that's lucid dreaming technically. And I can't control what happens in the dream. It's still wild world to do whatever it wants to do. But, I can control my actions, but I can also wake myself up if I want to too.
Yeah. And I've been in where I can't.
Yeah.
Now, I do think it's interesting how they were hearing the breathing and stuff, and they can pretty much be like, hey, cut it off. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
It's nice that it obeyed and it said, oh, you know, okay, I don't mean to freak you out. I guess I would feel like kind of an asshole too. And then people are like, Tony, no, you wouldn't. Yeah, you're right. No, but I don't know. I think if I liked the family, that's the biggest thing with me. If I like people, I'll do like anything for them and I'll be the most loyal person in the world. There's just not many people I like. That's the problem. But if it was like, I didn't like the family that came in and they were being rude and just, I judged them as horrible people, I wouldn't be respectful and respect those wishes. I'd be breathing down their ears. But if I was like, these are good people, I really didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry. You know, let me stay in the attic for the rest of the year as punishment. I'm really sorry.
Kind of like a cool party trick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, do you hear that breathing? Oh, would you stop?
It's like, I'll come out for you for parties if you want. I'll help you rid your home of people when you want them to go. You know,
now that would be a talent.
I would totally be that ghost if I liked the people. If like, I'll help. I'll play along. I'll freak out the people that shouldn't be there, and it'll be great. You know, and we would have this weird. I'm surprised we haven't had a story like that where it's like there's like this ghostly understanding between the tenant and the ghost, and the ghost just always seems to be able to get rid of people at the right time. It almost sounds like a sitcom or something that you'd see on like ABC in 1998 or something. What happens when a wacky ghost and a wacky family move into one wacky haunted house? Find out after the next latest Home Improvement Thursday on ABC, you know, something like that. But let's go to our next. Go ahead.
No, I can't believe that's never been done.
Yeah.
Actually, I was trying to think if it had.
I almost want to say there was something like that once. And I always reference a show that because Dan Aykroyd started a sitcom where I believe he was like a preacher in the early 90s. And it was like one of those short-lived ABC ones. And I want to say there was and I know this is not that show, but I want to say there was a show on that debuted around the same time that had kind of a ghost concept like that in it. And my mind always associates Dan Aykroyd with ghosts. And I always think, oh, that was that show. But that wasn't that show. I think it was something else. That
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly. But that show was something different. And I don't remember what it was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. This is Michael from New York. I'd like to submit my ghost story that I like to call Summer of Rock and Roll. And the way that this story begins is simple. Back in 2018, I was quite rebellious, and I couldn't be held down. And I used to travel to different towns. And this one town, being a college town, I couldn't resist. And I traveled to this place, and I was looking for a place to stay for a few months, just experience the atmosphere and the facade of the area. So what ended up happening was I found this one house that was a little bit, let's say, on the fancier side of houses. Inside the house, when I came to knock on the door, was this like Arabian guy that came to the door. He wasn't that old, but he was very neurotic. He was very jumpy, and I didn't understand. You know, his attitude, it was kind of weird. But anyways, I said, you know, you posted up a place that that you have a room available. And he said, yeah, sure, but it's in the basement. Are you okay with that? And I said, well, let's take a look at it. So we go down in the basement, and he opens the door. It's marble floors. The place is leathered out, three rooms unoccupied. It was just like a really pristine looking apartment. And we walked into the shower, and it was even more luxurious. It was marble everywhere, walk-in shower. It had one of those waterfall heads. Like, I just had to, you know, I just had to try to get this place. The funny thing was, is there was this elevator right beside the bathroom. It was this full industrial elevator. It was huge. And he pointed, you know, and I'm looking at it, and he says, oh, yeah, about that, it doesn't work. So don't even bother trying to press the button, because it just doesn't work. Well, I was, you know, that's kind of odd, having an elevator and just, you know, it wasn't a small house, but it was a modest house. It was kind of fancy, but having an elevator going from the bottom floor to the main floor was kind of strange. But anyways, I told the guy, I said, okay, you know, I'll take the room. And he said, we'll think about it, and we'll call you if we want you to stay. And I said, okay, sure. So I jumped in my car, and I drive off, and sure enough, right after I pass the street, he calls me, and he says, hey, you can have the room. And, you know, that was kind of strange. You know, there was just one strange coincidence after another. And I don't know if he talked to somebody in his house or what was going on, but I didn't care. I just wanted to get in there, and I was looking for places. This place was, you know, it was a decent place. So I just told him on the cell phone. I said, yeah, sure, I'll be there, and I'll get my stuff. I don't got too much stuff. I just got like a couple of bags. And he said, yeah, no problem. I'll get you a key, and you can get all settled in. So I meet him there, and he goes, which room do you want? Now, that's a strange thing, because, you know, there was other bigger rooms, but I instinctively chose the middle room, which was smaller. I'm not sure why. It didn't have a window facing outwards. It had this small one that was under the porch of the backyard, so you couldn't see. So I move into this place, and, you know, it's just one strange thing after another. Like, the stove doesn't work, and a couple of other things. It's just, it's a little bit weird the way the place was set up. It's almost like it's, I don't know, like, just built on the fly or something like that. It was kind of weird. And then I started finding out, like, other things, like stuff that to accommodate someone that lived there before, it's weird. Like, they weren't able to walk or something like that. But anyways, you know, I picked this room and, you know, I don't have any sheets or nothing. I have a sleeping bag and, you know, I'm in there. My other, I accommodated the other room by putting my mountain bike in there. I bought this mountain bike at the local, at the town, and they had this trail nearby, and, you know, this bike, unfortunately, was leaking oil, so from the valve, the guy that sold it to me, I think it was, I don't know, he didn't take care of it, but he hit it really well when he sold it to me. But anyways, I put a plastic bag underneath, not to stain the floors, and I put it into that room. And the third room, it was just vacant. There was a bed in there, but nothing too special. So I'm in this room, and I'm sitting on the bed, and what I did was, for some strange reason, I turned myself around when I slept. I didn't sleep with my head at the headboard, and the headboard was this old, like, golden gate of a frame thing, and it wasn't connected to the actual bed. It was just, like, leaned up against the wall. And then the frame at the bottom with the mattress on top. So it was just sitting there. I didn't bother to do anything with it. It looked like just a decorative, you know, addition to the room or something like that. So I left it there. But I had a kind of strange feeling about it and the whole place itself. Anyways, I'm sleeping one day, and you know, it's coming towards the daytime, and all of a sudden, and I'm still asleep, the bed starts vibrating, like, rapidly. It's almost like if you put, like, a quarter in one of those chairs at the mall or something like that, the massage things, but it's almost like that. And while it's vibrating, the mattress is actually moving off the frame, and I wake up, and then I'm reorienting myself, and I'm just trying to think, like, what's going on? Like, this is kind of weird, and it's still vibrating, and then I just say out loud, you know, WTF, but it's still going, it's still vibrating, it's, you know, it's strange, and it's vibrating off the bottom frame. So I'm on the mattress is a little bit on the corner, and I can feel that, you know, the top mattress is bending over the bottom mattress kind of thing, because it's vibrating. So this happens for about, it felt like forever, but it just happened for about like 30 seconds, and then it stopped, and I was awake. So I shrugged myself off, and, you know, I don't think too much of it. And I go about my day. I wasn't afraid or anything like that, but I was curious. And my intuition, you know, pointed me towards that headboard thing, that gate thing. So what I did the next day, or that same day, was I grabbed that thing and I put it into another room. And I just left it there. And from that time on, I didn't get any more shakes, and I was perfectly fine. But I just got a little bit, you know, I was trying to wonder, like, what was that? Was that, like, someone trying to wake me up as a routine in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning? Or was that something else? Was that somebody trying to warn me? Because one of the reasons why I've been traveling was I have this, I have the NSA that are coming up against me. And would they possibly, have they broken into that apartment? And was that spirit that was shaking the bed rapidly, were they trying to warn me of their presence, possibly? So what I come to find out was there was this grandmother that actually lived with these people. And she lived in the basement, like a separate apartment. And I think she's the one that had all the money. And what they did was they installed an elevator that, so she, I think she was wheelchair bound. And that's why there was a walk-in shower and things like that. So make it more accessible for her, and so she can jump in that elevator and go to the second floor and, you know, play with the family. And when the when she was, you know, ready for night, she went down, and I think she died. And that was her spirit maybe watching over the house, possibly, and watching over the patrons. And, yes, the NSA did visit my basement on several occasions. So that could have been, you know, a friend. That was a friendly ghost to warn me, possibly. It did kind of spook me, but I wasn't alarmed to the point of being scared. I was just, you know, ghosts don't necessarily frighten me. But anyways, I just want to say that the show is great. You guys do a bang-up job. I wish there was a little bit more insight in evaluating some of these stories. I've been, you know, a little bit intrigued about the spiritual world, and I've been digging in a little bit more than I should have as a hobby, if anything. But that's, I can write that in at a later time. But anyways, I heard that you are an avid Rick Astley fan. And your wife completely detests it. Well, at least when you sing it. But anyways, what I want to do is I want to serenade the couple, or it could be another person that's hosting with you, but let's go ahead and serenade.
Jesus. And thankfully, the phone call, actually, I'm not even kidding you, cut out right there.
Well, I was set up for a whole different kind of story.
Yeah.
Because when he started that, he said something about the summer of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I was like, like in my head, I thought there was going to be some like rock and roll ghost story.
I was thinking that too.
And I was like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Not saying, you know, he didn't have some interesting stuff happen, but I just, it took a turn. I just was convinced there's some rock and roller going to show up, and I don't know.
Well, at least at the very end, he did mention the ultimate rock and roller of our times. The one, the only, Rick Astley. On Hot 104.7. Weather's coming up after the hour. Take a look at that. It's going to be a pretty shitty weekend, everybody. Get those galoshes on and wear a rubber. Ooh.
Oh, well, I don't have like deep insight into his story, though.
No, I'm sorry.
Because I'm just a regular person. I don't have a lot of deep insight into stuff. But I don't, you know, I think that probably absolutely was the grandmother's area of the house.
Yeah.
And if she died, I absolutely think she could still be there.
Yeah, I think he kind of figured a lot of it out, but yeah, I think
I
what
think he had it.
Yeah, but I totally understand at the beginning this kind of this ominous not understood feeling of what is going on around here? What is this mm-hmm. stuff? And until you can kind of put those dots together, even the most benign of ghosts can seem pretty unsettling. And that's probably just all it was. Once you kind of put the pieces together, suddenly, oh, it's not this broken puzzle, and this piece of the puzzle looks like it's a vampire tooth, and this one looks like a lily, and you get it together. It's like, oh, it's just a valley that's part of a rock, or so, you know, it's everything makes more sense then, and I think that's really what he eventually was able to figure out.
Honestly, even a kindly grandma ghost can still scare yeah. the shit.
I think I'd be afraid of more grandma ghosts than I would serial killers in some cases. I guess it depends on the grandma that we're talking about. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call him. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.